Crisis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the spiritual significance of war. And before we explore that topic, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The key to humanity's trouble has been to take and not give, to accept and not share, to grasp and not to distribute. This has involved the breaking of a law which has placed humanity in a position of guilt. War is the dire penalty which mankind has had to pay for this great sin of separateness. This comment by Alice Bailey links the cause of war to separativeness, which we've been discussing recently. Could you expand on that?
Yes, I suppose you could say that war is the ultimate expression of separativeness because people literally divide into armed camps and attack each other for the purpose of murdering them and obliterating them. The interesting thing behind war is the spiritual implications of it that are expressed in the books of Alice Bailey in ways that are quite intriguing and sometimes surprising. And because this particular month, August, is the 60th anniversary of the end of the World War, and we are now involved in this dreadful war in Iraq, it's interesting to ponder on some of the spiritual implications of war. Alice Bailey relates war in general to similar occurrences such as financial panic, a religious revival, or even a lynching. Those are her words. All are caused, she said, by man's being swept into a vortex of uncontrollable energy and misdirected emotional force. So war is obviously the most disastrous, but all of those examples are blind, raging emotion. And yet, she said, to many of you, the World War was a supreme disaster, an agony to be averted in the future at any cost, and a dreadful happening indicative of the wickedness of man and the incredible blind indifference of God. But she wrote to the masters, the great beings on the inner side of life, who watch over human destiny, the war was in the nature of a major surgical operation that was made in the effort to save the patient's life, the patient being humanity. She said a violent streptococcic germ and infection had menaced the life of humanity, in a sense, and an operation was made to prolong the opportunity and save the life, not to save the form, but to save the indwelling life. And that's a key point to consider. War eliminates forms. Nothing can eliminate life.
And that's one of the things we have to try to get past, you know, that we tend to see the millions of thousands, a hundredth of thousands of people being annihilated during a war, as they were during World War One and Two. I mean, there were something like 50 million people that died in that war. And we tend to be horrified because...
It is horrifying.
Yes, it is horrifying, but yet, as she says, it's the destruction of form, and we mustn't overlook the fact that life continued on. It was just the form side that died, and but the life within the form continued on to come back in a better form.
That relates to another thought from her writings about destruction. The very word destruction sounds bad, sounds negative, sounds like things fall apart. And that's true, but she said there are actually two types of destruction. There is the destruction that is meted out by human beings with no understanding, who are acting out of ignorance or selfishness. And then there is the destruction that is permitted by the soul at the right time, when the soul can perceive that a new means of expression is demanded of the form by the indwelling life. In other words, the outer form, whether it's the body, the personality, the institution, or the idea, no longer serves the purpose of the indwelling life. And then, at that point, the soul calls for the destruction of that form as a means of clearing the way for a better means of expression. And that type of destruction can be very fruitful. So she said there is much destruction that is permitted by divine forces and much evil that can be turned into good because the consciousness is ready to learn from sacrifice, the sacrifice of the form, and the resulting experience of that loss. And we can look at the 50 million lives lost in World War II and their tremendous sacrifice and see what was liberated for the generations that have followed them. The liberation of the colonies that had been under the thumb of the colonial powers is just one example.
Well, of course, World War II, we were encountering really a tremendous force of evil on this planet, and that's an evil of, it was actually a battle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, which sounds a little bit like Star Wars again, mm-hmm. but it was something like that, mm-hmm. not with a Darth Vader and a Luke Skywalker, but yes, there were definite forces of evil, cosmic evil, that were finding their way into human beings and working through humans. And actually, what was being threatened was the death of freedom, the death of free speech, the death of human actions and truth, and the death of spiritual values. And those were at stake. And so that's why that war was such a turning point in the whole history of the human race here. But we have to think, not see the destruction of forms, not in individual sense, because, I mean, many soldiers get killed on the battlefield, and we tend to look at each one of them, and we are horrified by their death, you know. But if we can stand back and see it as a group movement, that it's not so much an individual happening, but there is a whole group movement of souls at work here, trying to bring about a change in human consciousness.
Well, because we are individuals with individual perceptions and experiences, we do view these things in terms of individualities. But you're right. Events like war are huge, sweeping expressions of the divine plan, often on a worldwide level and often over eons of time. The Ageless Wisdom draws a link between the world war of the past century and I should point out that the writings of Alice Bailey refer to it as just the World War, not World War One and Two, because she viewed those two wars as really two bookends of one event with a brief interlude of, 20 years in between. The Ancient's Wisdom links the World War with something that happened eons ago that we've talked about before, the war in Atlantis. Some of our listeners might remember our discussion of Atlantis, that supposedly fabled continent that sunk into the sea and had little outcroppings of it are sometimes claimed to be seen even today. Well, the Ageless Wisdom views Atlantis as having been a real continent with a real human society. And at that time, Atlantis was brought to an end with a great flood. And we find reference to that flood in many of the world's religions. In the Bible, it's the flood where Noah rescued two of each species. But the flood is symbolic of the emotional nature of the crisis that humanity reached in Atlantis, the inability to overcome the power of emotion with all of its selfishness and its glamour and its materialism. Humanity's civilization, known as Atlantis, was brought to an end by that inability to rise above emotion. Now, in the World War, the outcome of that earlier battle was fought on a higher level, she said, on the level of the mind in terms of ideologies, and it expressed itself not through water but through fire. And it's true, isn't it, that there was a lot of firepower in the World War?
Oh, yes, yes, and the fire was very much culminating, of course, in the atomic bomb, the greatest fire that man has been able to produce on Earth, and aside from the sun. But speaking of Atlantis, we have to remember that this continent, this society, civilization, was terminated by God. It was by the action of God and the forces that he set in motion that actually brought that civilization to an end. So it was necessary because the forces of evil or the forces of darkness at that time, it is said in the books, got the upper hand, and they were more powerful at that time, and if they had been allowed to continue on as they were, then the world would look a much different today. So that great flood was necessary, and it's a kind of the symbol of the cleansing that was necessary at that time.
History, anybody who's studied human history knows that humanity has had a long, long, long experience with war, with battle. And history is full of examples of people going to war for parcels of land, for changing frontiers, for discovery, in order to grab land from another group of people, to grab the mineral and natural riches of that land and take it for themselves. So humanity has tended to follow a line of least resistance that leads them to go to war over selfish reasons and without very creative thinking a lot of the time. That's one of the most amazing things about the existence of the United Nations. Who could possibly say how many wars have been averted because the UN exists? The UN is always accused of being a place where people just talk. Yes, they talk until they're blue in the face. And who knows how many wars might have been averted because they kept talking. And I don't think we really appreciate the negotiations and the long, slogging debates and compromises that are reached by the people who toil away in the UN that might very well have averted many battles. Certainly some still happen. But it's a line of least resistance that humanity absolutely has to give up, because we now have the means to just blow each other off the face of the earth. It's not a matter of just firing a gun anymore. It's obliterating whole cities and so on.
Well, negotiations are like war by other means.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the negotiation, around the negotiation table. So that's a step forward.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And our topic for today, the spiritual significance of war. And we have a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company today, and that's the Alice Bailey book entitled Death, the Great Adventure. Death, the Great Adventure is a compilation of extracts from the books of Alice Bailey. The ageless wisdom views death not as the end, but as a transition into even a fuller life, life as lived by the soul. Death, the Great Adventure is offered to you today for $11. That's a special offer, and the unique quality of the offer is that you're getting free shipping and handling. What you need to do is send a check or a money order to Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's $11 to Luce's Publishing Company in the form of a check or a money order. Luce's Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you mention Inner Sight, you will receive the free shipping and handling. Also, we appreciate your donations, large and small. They're an expression to us of your support, and they're also tax deductible. Donations can be sent to Luce's Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you need to get in touch with us to order books or cassette tapes of radio shows, a schedule of meditation meetings, or a general package of information, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's our toll-free number. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866. Think of New York Luce's. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. And once again, we're doing a show on the spiritual significance of war. It seems like a paradox when you say the spiritual significance of war. A contradiction that's true, but I think you're convincing me that there is a spiritual significance of war.
I'm certainly not coming out in favor of war. I'm trying to say that every human expression and event can be turned towards spiritual purposes if we learn from it.
Yes, and I think it brings to mind a very, very important question about death itself and what death is and what it isn't. There may be the death of a physical form, and certainly when we lose our loved ones on the battlefield, and it's a terrible experience for all of us, but if we can look beyond that and see that this death was like any other death, it's a liberation, that being within that form is liberated, and whether it was killed in a battlefield or dies a natural death, then or however way death occurs, then the individual, that being, is being liberated and will return in another body at another time. So it may be we focus too much on the form side of death, and this has to be corrected and change our thinking for the next years to come and decades to come.
I was mentioning earlier that the ageless wisdom views the war in Atlantis that resulted in the Great Flood as having been caused by emotion, uncontrolled emotion, and the world war of the last century being fought on the level of the mind, ideology, over ideologies. And in a sense, the more mentally developed humanity becomes, the more vicious the wars probably will be also. By that I mean the human mind has now figured out how to blow huge areas of population and urban areas off the face of the earth through the atomic bomb and through biological warfare and so on. The ingenuity of human intelligence has enabled us to kill larger and larger masses of people. There's another aspect to this mental polarization. It has to do with ideologies. And Alice Bailey said that the religious war, if it ever comes to be, will be the most disastrous because there are no hatreds so deep as those fostered by religions.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes wonder if we are dangerously close to such a war now with this constant focus on and awareness of fundamentalism versus the people who think they are liberal thinkers and drawing this cleavage among different faiths and expressing itself as such hatred. It's very frightening.
Well, of course, there is a spiritual basis to this, to terrorism, and that's what's really they're doing. What they're intending to do is to create terror, and it's very deep because of this religious component, and it goes right to the core of one's being, one's belief system. And if that is threatened, then as it seems to have been by the presence of the infidels in the Middle East, then it brings up all the worst. It really evokes the very worst that is in human beings and the very worst that we're capable of.
So I suppose we can't solve that, most of us, but we can contribute toward a counter force that fosters understanding, forgiveness, tolerance, a belief in the universality of the human experience, regardless of whatever culture or religion we come from, that refuses to give in to thoughts of hatred and separatism, no matter what the differences might be. And the differences are very real. We don't all agree. There isn't a common ground that's recognized by everyone in these questions of fundamentalism and liberalism. But we have to commit ourselves to somehow maintaining a unity on the level of the soul, regardless of our differences of belief and opinion on matters having to do with the outer level of life. If that conscious oneness, consciousness of oneness, is maintained by all of us as we think about these problems, I think we can contribute toward a lessening of the tendency to go to war, and perhaps supporting the people who are involved in trying to work out negotiations and agreements and understanding.
Well, of course, that's one of the good things that did come out of evil, was the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an act of God bringing the good out of evil. It's an expression of that, exactly, and that's the way it turned out. And perhaps if the war had not occurred when it did, we wouldn't have a United Nations today. We would have something else, perhaps worse than what we had before, just a collection of nations who were fighting each other all the time. There would be no central forum where they could come together and hash out these differences, which is a step up because it lifts the whole battle up to the plane of mind,
mm-hmm.
where it can be fought out there. I mean, it's a we talk about war, there is also the war that goes on within the human being. Every one of us from time to time has this war between our desire nature and our physical nature, and our mind is saying one thing, our desires are saying another, and there's this great emotional tug of war that goes on. So everybody's experienced that. So it's another expression of war. And but the ability of humanity to lift itself up and to see where it made its mistakes, this is a giant step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all brought on because of war.
There's another insight. I kind of hesitate to bring it up, but here I go, coming from the books of Alice Bailey, that has to do with sacrifice and liberation. She says that every kingdom in nature is liberated by the kingdom above it. For example, the vegetable kingdom is liberated in its evolution by the wind and insect world. The animal kingdom is liberated by man. And she said that the release of the animal nature through the loss of blood, the shedding of blood in war, spiritually understood, holds the key to the liberation of the animal kingdom and of the animal body of the human being. In other words, as the great teacher Blavatsky said, man is both a god and an animal, in the sense of the physical body being our animal nature, the spiritual aspect being the divine aspect. And the loss of life through the spilling of blood is, in its sense, a kind of an initiatory process that, painful as it is, has a spiritual significance. I don't know, is that too dreadful to even contemplate?
No, I don't think so, because I think one of the great things about the New Age, the ageless wisdom teachings in the Bailey books, is that it gives a perspective of that the position that God, how God sees the world in terms of the forces that he works with at that level. And it, as it says in the Council Chamber of Shambhala, and we don't always take this into account, that the great forces of God are working out here on a planetary scale. And if we can try to identify from that perspective, then it eases the pain and suffering of just the individual experience of war.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company. And that's the Alice Bailey book, Death, The Great Adventure. It's a compilation of extracts from the books of Alice Bailey. It's available today for $11, so what you need to do is send a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you mention Inner Sight, you will receive free shipping and handling. And also, if you need to get in touch with us for any reason, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's our toll-free number. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. 1-866, think of New York, LUCIS. Our website, www.lucistrust.org. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.